gathered in God's house with our brothers and sisters in the Lord. And so we're thankful that you are here today, and we're excited for what God has for us in what is a special service this morning. We have missionaries Andrew and Alexis Abel here, and their two daughters with us. Olson, did I say Abel? Here, I saw John and Ruby here and thought right away in my head, we got the Abels. So, but this is the Olsons. Yes, Andrew and Alexis. Thank you, Ryan, coming in the clutch for me there. We are going to hear from them later in the service. They'll have a video, presentations, they'll give a sermon there also, Andrew will, and so we're looking forward to that. They also brought some African tea with. They have been commissioned by AFLC World Missions by Lutheran Bible Translators to do work over in Tanzania. And so they brought some tea that will be served during the fellowship time. So be sure to stick around for that and enjoy that time of fellowship. There's a small table set up back by the cookie table for you to find any information and prayer cards and things like that for the Olsons as well. And so so stay for that if you're able, and enjoy that time of fellowship together. Let's see here. As far as the rest of this week goes for announcements, you can see that the youth are doing this new event, Spike Ball and Pizza. That's tonight. That's going to be happening a handful of times throughout the rest of the summer. It's a chance just for them to get together as kind of an outreach type of event to play a game that's very popular with them right now and eat pizza, which they love to do also. Several other congregations in the community have been invited to come also, and so keep that event in prayer tonight and in the weeks to come. You can see also that Wilderness Bible Camp is happening this week. That means that there are no Wednesday activities for us here at the church. You are invited to come out to Wilderness Bible Camp. We have that Wednesday night is kind of St. Paul's night out there. We host the service and lead it and so forth, which reminds me that would like to be for special music, a men's group singing. And if you're planning to be out there and would like to be a part of that, right now we have Ryan and me. So we'll take any more that would like to be a part of that. Please let me know if that's something that you'd be willing to join us in out there on Wednesday night. So the rest of you are welcome to come out for that service. You're welcome to come out any service, Tuesday evening through Saturday evening out there. I believe it's 7 o'clock service. Can somebody help me with that? I'm pretty sure it is. There he is. Okay, board member there. Thank you. Yeah, 7 p.m. service. If you need directions, please talk to myself. Dan Olson can help. The Gillens can help. I know others can help too. So I can direct you there if you need help with that. Let's see. And then I think that's all that I really want to mention. We've got regular service scheduled next week. Are there any other announcements that I missed? And if not, then let's hear our call to worship this morning. It's from Psalm 24. It says, "The earth is the Lord's and all it contains, the world and those who dwell in it. Lift up your heads, O gates, and be lifted up, O ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory." Let's stand and sing to that King of glory. Holy, 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 number 134.
Good morning. You may be seated. Psalm 51:10 says, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me." We'll be singing, "O Great God."
wonderful themes through even those songs, not just theologically, but I think of the opportunity, the joy it is to sing a children's song and to recognize and include those young people in our service and participating that way. And then when I think of that last hymn too, and the call, the beautiful call we have as Christians to go and to proclaim the beautiful good news of the gospel to all who will hear. What this part of the service is that message. It's a message of law and gospel. It's a message that says that we are sinners, that we need a Savior, and then it's the beautiful good news that that the Savior came and forgives us our sins. And so I would invite you to join now together in confessing our sins and receiving His grace from His Word. You'll find our confession of sins in your bulletin, also on the screen. Almighty God, our Maker and Redeemer, we poor sinners confess unto you that we are by nature sinful and unclean, and that we have sinned against you by thought, word, and deed. Therefore, we flee for refuge to your infinite mercy, seeking and imploring your grace for the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. From Isaiah chapter 43, but now thus says the Lord, He who created you, O Jacob, He who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. It is my joy and privilege to declare to you today that God Almighty has had mercy on us and has sent His only Son to die for us, and for His sake He forgives our sins, and that removes all fear. Because He has redeemed us. He has called us by name. We are His. That's the good news today. Amen. This time we'll call on Don Berge to read our scripture.
The Old Testament lesson for this Sunday is found in Ezekiel chapter 2, verses 1 through 5. Would you please stand for the reading of the word? Ezekiel chapter 2, verse 1. And he said to me, Son of man, stand on your feet, and I will speak with you. And as he spoke to me, the Spirit entered into me and set me on my feet. And I heard him speaking to me. And he said to me, Son of man, I send you to the people of Israel, to nations of rebels who have rebelled against me. They and their fathers have transgressed against me to this very day. The descendants also are impudent and stubborn. I send you to them, and you shall say to them, Thus says the Lord, and whether they hear or refuse to hear, for they are a rebellious house, they will know that a prophet has been among them. Then the gospel lesson is found in Mark, the 6th chapter, verses 1 through 6. Mark chapter 6, verse 1. He went away from there and came to his hometown. And his disciples followed him. And on the Sabbath, he began to teach in the synagogue. And many who heard him were astonished, saying, Where did this man get these things? What is the wisdom given to him? How are such mighty works done by his hands? Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James, and Joseph, and Judas, and Simon? And are not his sisters here with us? And they took offense at him. And Jesus said to them, A prophet is not without honor, except in his hometown, and among his relatives, and in his own household. And he could do no mighty works there, except that he laid his hands on a few sick people and healed them. And he marveled because of their unbelief. And he went about among the villages teaching. Thus ends the reading for today.
Let's confess our faith, saying, "This is what we believe," using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated on the right hand of God the Father Almighty, from where he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen and amen. You may be seated. This time I'll call on the ushers to wait upon us. This time, I'm going to call on Pastor Andrew Olson to come and to share with us.
Check, check. Hey, good morning. Such a great thing to be here with you all. We feel so honored to come and share. The last time I was here was actually on the ambassadors team back in 2010. So it's great to be here again. Good to see some familiar faces. And I would like to invite the children to come forward. We're going to have a special children's sermon for you. The Bible says in Proverbs that good news from a far land is like a refreshing cup of cold water. I don't know about you, but did you hear the news today that those boys in Thailand, four of them are out of the cave now? That's just amazing. But it was kind of refreshing to hear that. It's refreshing to hear when there's good news, right? You guys like good news, don't you? I do. But I hope that as you hear about what God is doing in Africa, I hope that comes as good news to you as well. Okay, let's see if I can take my microphone here. I would like to know what your favorite thing to eat for lunch is. Who has a favorite lunch food? It's like, that's my favorite. You have a favorite lunch? What's your favorite lunch?
Mac and cheese,
yeah. What's yours?
Ham and cheese,
okay.
White noodles.
Ooh, yummy. These are all sounding good. Yeah.
Spaghetti.
That's great. How many of you like eating at Chick-fil-A? Have you ever been to Chick-fil-A? I like Chick-fil-A. That's probably my favorite lunch. What about, have you ever been to McDonald's before? You've been to McDonald's? Have you ever got a Happy Meal? Raise your other hand if you got a Happy Meal before. Wow. You guys are pretty big if you get your own Happy Meal. Now, what would you say if you just got your Happy Meal, and then somebody said, oh, you saw somebody who didn't have any food at all, and you realize that you've eaten lunch and dinner, and you know you've had all the meals, but you met somebody who didn't have any food that day. Would you be willing to give up your Happy Meal so that somebody else could have food? Wow, that's a lot of heads shaking. Yes, maybe. That'd be a little scary, though. Like, for me, I'd be wondering, like, if I gave up my Happy Meal, where am I going to get some food? Because if I'm hungry, that's my only food. In today's scripture lesson that we're going to look at, we're hearing the story about this boy who has a lunchbox full of fish and loaves. And you maybe know this story. He gives those loaves to Jesus. Now, who remembers what happens next in that story? I'm going to go over here. You guys didn't say anything yet. What happens next in that story? He turns into 80 bajillion loaves of bread and enough for everybody. Bingo. Jesus multiplies that little boy's lunch. Imagine that happening. You take your lunchbox, give it to Jesus, and all of a sudden now there's enough for 5,000 grown men to eat whatever you had planned for lunch that day. But that's Jesus. And not only was there enough for everybody, there's even more than enough. So we're going to hear about that a little bit more today. But I encourage you to think, as you hear that story, think about where's the place that I can give what I have to somebody who's hungry. Maybe you have opportunities to give to actual hungry people and feed people in your community. But maybe there's other ways that people are needy. Maybe it's for companionship or friendship. Maybe people are needy to know about Jesus. And how can we be part of bringing them what they really need? That's the question. All right, I'm going to pray, and then I've got a special surprise for you. Lord Jesus, thank you for these children. I just ask you would bless them and encourage them in their walk with you. Thank you for the childlike faith that they have. And Lord, would you bless them in Jesus' name, amen. All right, special surprise. I collected fruit smells from all over Africa. I got all of these really crazy fruits, and I bottled them in little film containers, and I stuck them on the table out there. So after the service is done today, if you go over to our little table, you can open the film containers and smell some fruits you probably never smelled, like jackfruit, passion fruit, lychee fruit. There's a lot of weird ones, but you got to try to smell them all after the service, okay? Thanks for your attention. Oh, excuse me. Okay, well, I'm going to sing you guys a song. Would you like to hear a song from Africa? This is a song from a choir there. It's called Siku za Kilio, and it's in Swahili. So I'm going to sing the first verse of the song, and then the second verse of the song I'm going to translate for you so you can understand the meaning of this African song. I believe it's ready to go, so go ahead and fire it up whenever. It's really fun to watch African choirs. They get really into it. So I actually brought a little video so you can see for yourself. It's kind of fun. I don't quite have the same, I don't know. I'm just not quite African enough yet. But maybe by the time I come back after our first furlough, maybe I'll have a little more of that. Kilio na maombolezo mengi Raheli akiwa lilia watoto wake Lakini hakutaka kufarijiwa kwa kuwa hawapo tena Bwana asema hebu zuie sauti yako silie mama Na macho yako kamwe yasitoke machozi tulie jipe moyo Bwana sema hebu zuie sauti yako usilie baba Na macho yako kamwe yasitoke machozi tulie jipe moyo Mana kazi yako itapata dawabu Na kwa nguvu mpya utainulia tena Akati tulio nao Si wa kuomboleza tena Siku za kilio zimepita zimekwisha Sasa twasonga tena Bele kwa kazi yake bwana Matoka ya kamwe hayatatuka hatisha tamaa Na tutaweza yote Kwa jina lake mwenye nguvu Na kwa mkono wake yeye mwenyewe atatuongoza. Okay, now I'm going to translate what that means. So these folks here are singing about Siku za Kilio. Siku za Kilio means the days of mourning. And they're talking about how they've lost children. Like Rachel in the Bible lost her children. They've also lost children to famine, to war, to disease. But the Siku za Kilio, those days of mourning are passing. They're behind them now. And so they are going to continue on in the strength of the Lord. And isn't that true that even though we go through so many hard times in life, God comes and gives us his strength, he gives us his joy, so that we can face each new day with him at our side. And I love the joy that you can see on these brothers and sisters' faces. It's so clear that Christ has filled their hearts with joy. And so he says, by the strength of God, we are going to continue on. We're going to continue on to do the Lord's work. And we're going to rebuild the house of God that has come down and been destroyed. So I'm going to let you listen in because it's kind of fun. You can hear that. Lakini katika mambo haya yote tumeshinda na zaidi ya kushinda kwa yeye aliyetupenda jina lake lisifiwe milele. Baada ya siku hizo za kupigwa vikali kama alivyoahidi nguvu mpya ametupatia tena. So in this verse they're talking about how in these last days, the days before Christ comes back, Christians are going to become under great persecution. But even in all of these things, we are more than conquerors, he says. We are more than conquerors through him who has loved us, kind of quoting that verse. And every time you see their hands raising like this, it means, you know, God's strength will be with us. So a really fun language, Swahili. It's spoken in East Africa and Tanzania and Kenya. And every word ends with a vowel. So very easy to be a rapper in Swahili. So what do you think? So I need to work on my dance moves maybe a little bit. Get in the African feel. Joy. I love the joy. If we were here in Africa this morning at a service, there'd be just joy everywhere. So as they're kind of finishing that song, I invite you to open your Bibles to John chapter 6. I'm going to be sharing with you a little bit about that today. And this account of Jesus miraculously feeding 5,000 people, really an incredible account of something that really happened, undeniable, all of these people who got fed at this time. And so really an amazing account. John chapter 6, I'm going to read through it, and then we'll come back and we'll make some observations about it. John chapter 6, beginning with verse 1. Sometime after this, Jesus crossed to the far shore of the Sea of Galilee, that is the Sea of Tiberias, and a great crowd of people followed him because they saw the miraculous signs he had performed on the sick. Then Jesus went up on the mountainside and sat down with his disciples. The Jewish Passover feast was near, and when Jesus looked up, he saw a great crowd coming towards him. He said to Philip, "Where shall we buy bread for these people to eat?" He asked this only to test him, for he had already in mind what he was going to do. Philip answered him, 8 months' wages would not buy enough bread for each one to have a bite. Another one of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, spoke up. "Here's a boy with 5 small barley loaves and 2 fish, but how far will these go among so many?" Jesus said, "Have the people sit down." There was plenty of grass in that place, and the men sat down, about 5,000 in number. Jesus then took the loaves, gave thanks, and distributed to those who were seated as much as they wanted. He did the same with the fish. When they had all enough to eat, he said to his disciples, "Gather the leftover pieces, let nothing be wasted." So they gathered the pieces, and they filled 12 baskets with the pieces of the 5 barley loaves left over by those who had eaten. After this, the people who had saw the miraculous sign that Jesus did began to say, "Surely this is the prophet who is to come into the world." Jesus, knowing that they intended to come and make him king by force, withdrew again to a mountain by himself. Let's pray once more. God, please open our hearts to your word. Thank you for your word. Your word is truth. And I just ask you to bless now your people here and encourage us in Jesus. We pray in his name. Amen. Well, this is our family. My name is Andy, my wife Alexis, and we have 2 daughters, Mariah and Selah, our 2 daughters. We're missionaries in Tanzania, and we'd love for you to pick up our prayer card out in the narthex after this is done. Skip past this a little bit. I've got all kinds of stories I could share with you today, but in Africa, there's many people who are just kind of waking up this morning without a clue of what God, who God is, or what he's done for them. Maybe these people, who knows what they're talking about around the fire? Simpler times, maybe. The cattle, the crops, the rain. I don't know what they'd be talking about in this photo. But I know that without Jesus, or without the Bible, they wouldn't be talking about him. And it's our desire as missionaries that we would see spiritual revival in communities in Africa. That the first scene would be transformed into the second scene, that the people would be renewed in Christ. So that's our goal a little bit. The Bible, you know, it's maybe one of the most important things to know because it teaches us this, how to have eternal life. If you don't have the Bible, you don't have the manual to how to get to heaven. But what if you did have this manual and somebody said, oh, just read this and you'll figure it out. Well, for one, I don't speak Latin, so that's the issue. It doesn't make sense. And so if somebody said, hey, this is how to have eternal life, I'd be really disappointed because now I need to learn Latin or something. Fortunately, John 3:16 has been translated into English. And it tells us about God who so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son for us, that whoever believes in him would not perish, but have eternal life. That Bible verse, it was made possible in English for the first time by a man named John Wycliffe, who lived in the 1300s. He was a Bible translator who translated the Bible from Latin into English, and he got under fire for it at the time. Another man got under fire for translating the Bible. You know him a little better. Martin Luther. First Bible in German was from Martin Luther. And just think of the long-lasting effects of the Bible being translated in German. The Reformation, the printing press took the Bible and printed it, mass production. It was really amazing to see what that has all done. And so we're going to talk about Bible translation a little bit in a little bit today. Again, my wife and I, we met in Uganda, so we've got a lot to tell you about Africa. It's very exciting. Let me just go past this here quick. We're going to look at this now, coming back to this text, how this relates to world missions. It's very encouraging. You know, Jesus here, he multiplies this young boy's lunch so that it is enough for all of these people. And there's a lesson hidden away in this text of why we can have hope for all of the nations who don't know Jesus. That is hidden away here. And we're going to look at it. So the first thing I think we can see from the Bible here is that Jesus has compassion on these crowds. They're all coming to him. And is it Jesus' job to feed them? He's already been healing their sick. He's already been casting out demons. Why is it his job to feed them? He's already fed their souls. Jesus has compassion on them. They've been listening all day. They're getting hungry. And good news for all of us is that Jesus doesn't just care about your soul. He cares about your body. He cares about your physical needs. And that's our Savior. He looked and he saw the crowds hungry and he said, you know, I'm gonna do something about this. Now, what did Philip think? What did Philip think was the problem here? Jesus says, you know, where are we going to get bread for these people? And Philip said, not enough money. We don't have enough money to feed all of these people. Even if we had enough money, we could only get enough for each person to have a little bit of bread. Philip didn't realize that he was standing next to God. Amen? I mean, he was God Almighty right there, and Philip's thinking it's a money problem. God, who created the heavens and the earth, can he not create enough food for these people to eat? But I find comfort in that. Even as Philip had a weak faith, he didn't quite understand. Even like we don't sometimes. Sometimes we have a weak faith. Sometimes we don't understand. We have problems ahead of us. Sometimes we forget to take them to God in prayer. I love that Jesus has compassion not only on the crowds, but also on weak faith Philip. It's good news that God is willing. He works with his disciples and he's so patient with them. I find that very comforting. In the scriptures, Jesus has compassion on the crowds. He has compassion on Philip, and that's good news. It's also good news. Jesus uses what we bring. Kids, have you ever had a saltine cracker before? You know what a saltine cracker is, right? It's like kind of good, right? It's kind of good, but you wouldn't want to eat it every day, right? Probably not. Maybe with a soup or something. That's maybe about the modern equivalent of a small barley loaf. It's not that impressive. It's like a saltine cracker, and there's only five of them, but it's just a little boy's lunch, right? As Andrew says here, he says, what are these for so many? It's not an impressive amount of food by any stretch of imagination. But therein lies the wonder that Jesus takes this insignificant, tiny little lunch, he multiplies it so that it is enough for 5,000 grown men. Men eat a lot, don't they, women? You know that, right? We're grown men. We work hard. We eat a lot. But somehow there's enough for 5,000 grown men to have enough, and it says that they were full. I wonder what the boy's face would have looked like. He brings his only lunch here to Jesus, and more, and all of a sudden there's enough for, they're just passing out baskets full of this bread and this fish. It would have been amazing. But I love that Jesus is never intimidated by someone's insignificant little thing. We bring what we have to Jesus, and it seems so small. 5-minute phone call seems so small to a friend in need. A meal to somebody who just was in the hospital seems so small. What we bring sometimes in our imagination is the smallest little lunch that there ever could be. But Jesus multiplies, and he uses what we bring. When we bring something small, he causes it to be something big. I love that. He does that even still today. And it's encouraging to me. The third thing I think is encouraging about this, God is glorified in the abundance. There's more than enough for everybody to eat. Baskets, 12 baskets. Why the extra? Well, it says in Ephesians 3:20 that he is able to do immeasurably more than we ever ask or think. And I think it's to his glory that he does all of this. He's goes above and beyond. Have you not seen that in your own life? Has God ever gone, you ask him for this thing, and he gives you even more than what you ever asked? I know that's been true in my life. It's amazing to see God in his compassion. He's glorified in abundance. So there's I think, three great things we saw about Jesus in this text. But now we're going to switch gears. I'm going to show you how this relates to missions work. There's 450 million people today who don't have access to God's word. I think 450 million, all of these countries, to me, it feels like crowds coming to Jesus. They're all hungry. These 450 million people around the world don't have the Bible. They're hungry for the word. How could we feed them? And am I like Philip today, or am I like the boy? Am I looking at the countries and thinking, well, God, looks like we have a little money problem here. We got a lot of countries. We need to send a lot of missionaries, and I don't know about the money. Or am I like the boy who says, God, this is what I have to bring. I can offer you my life. What will you do with it? And he will multiply whatever we bring to him to reach these people. He's not intimidated by the smallness of what we bring. He multiplies. Here's a little, some of you like charts and statistics. Here's the number of languages in the world. It's over 6,000. 1,600 languages, no Bible portions available today. That number is very much on my heart, but I love that there's 2,400 missionaries on the field today working with translation work. There's 2,400 languages in the works. So it's an exciting time to be alive. I saw firsthand myself as I lived in Africa, hundreds of people being saved as they heard about Christ for the first time. And I saw the crowds being fed, metaphorically, you could say. As they saw the Jesus film, they would pack the buildings until they were overfilled. We'd have to do more than one showing because there'd be not enough room. And so as we begin in Bible translation, what we do first is we actually translate the book of Luke, first thing we do, so that we can get the Jesus film. Once we get the Jesus film, we then show it in the community. A church is then born in a rural area, and we help the church grow. And that's kind of our job, to get the Bible into this language. If somebody told you how to learn Spanish to understand God or learn Latin, you'd be like, eh. But if somebody brought you an English Bible, that's the way to go, isn't it? So that's what we do. We translate the Bible. We learn the language. We translate verse by verse through all 31,000 verses. And we translate it back and make sure we're doing a good job. Compare with the Greek and the Hebrew, proofs, reading, typesetting, and then distribution. There's a lot of idioms in the Bible. Here we have one, this idiom face-to-face. In the original Greek, it's actually not that. It's actually mouth-to-mouth. But we can't say mouth-to-mouth in English. And in this one culture, you couldn't say face-to-face because that meant you were going to fight. So they had to adapt the idiom to be culturally specific. They used the word toe-to-toe, which meant that you're close in close conversation. So there's many idioms in the Bible. We have to take extra time to be careful to import them correctly into the culture we're working with. So that's a bit of geeky. You can ask me a little bit about translation if you'd like after the service. But here's a little diagram, show it nice and plain and simple. God says to the church, go to all the nations. And the church, for the last 2,000 years, has sent missionaries, just like our family. It says in Acts 11 that they sent Barnabas, one of the first missionaries. And so it's fun. We here today, in 2018, are carrying on a tradition of missions work that's gone back 2,000 years. That's pretty fun. I'm going to tell you now about Africa and the remaining time that we have. Africa is a beautiful place. We'd love to see you there sometime if you want to come visit. Lots of animals, but there's also, I believe it's 1.2 billion people living in Africa, and a great number of languages, 881 languages without a Bible in Africa. Here's Tanzania. That's where my family will be living, and specifically, it's this island right here in Lake Victoria. Just by nature of geography, it hasn't been reached. There hasn't been ever a full-time missions presence there. Above that, a little bit to the north, is where the Jorys are. If you just go straight up, that's where the Jory family lives, and Brent and Emily Ron. So it's fun to have some people and connections in the area. Hans Tanner was also in Uganda at the same place. So it's fun to be back in the area anyway. Ukerewe Island, population 100,000. They're estimating less than 1,000 Christians. So there are 99,000 people on this island who do not know Jesus yet. But those Christians who are there, I'm going double time here, I guess. Those Christians who are there have a very exciting vision to translate the word. These are some of the volunteers who have already stepped up and said, I'd like to be part of the translation team. And so they're pointing here to a board and they're saying, Andrew, there's one role that's not filled, translation advisor. And that's what they'd like me to do, to be part of the advisorship for the translation. They meet frequently to discuss how they're going to translate things. They work in small groups and large groups to do translation work. And it's a process, but they enjoy it quite a bit. All right, I'm going to teach you some Swahili. Say the word Ugali. Okay, that's the one on the left. It tastes like mashed potatoes, but it's a little bit overdone. So kind of imagine like sticky mashed potatoes. Say the word Matoke. That is plantains. So we eat those two things on a regular basis in Africa. Very, very good. Don't let bananas fool you. It's delicious. This is mosquito netting. That would be what we sleep under to prevent malaria. And that's part of life there. It's kind of a fun adventure part. Say this word here, kibanda. Very good Swahili. You guys can do this yourself. Kibanda means mud hut, and it's what many traditional families live in. Some are upgrading to brick huts, but very traditional, very usual to have one of these. You can construct a kibanda hut in about a week if you're working steadily at it. And so many people's first house is a kibanda. Kind of fun. There's also many crowded buses. This one's over capacity. I see there's some people on the top and some goats and 33 passengers, definitely above rating, not OSHA approved. But it's kind of fun. It's always an adventure, and the African saying is, there's room for one more. So we make it work. I asked the question today, how the Lord might be leading you. You hear a lot of missionaries. You have a lot of opportunities to support ministry here in your church, in this community, and around the world. But I would ask you to consider Bible translation as maybe one of the ministries that you support. How can you support Bible translation? Well, the first way is through your prayers. We would invite you to be part of our prayer team. We have certain prayer requests, and we keep everyone up to date with a quarterly newsletter. The newsletter is called the Jungle Journal. That arrives at your mailbox once every 3 months, and you can just get a little update about how the mission's going. Free to subscribe. It's kind of fun. We put pictures in there. It's always a fun little subscription to have. We also have this thing called the two-way prayer team, where people can become part of our team, and we like to keep track of who's praying for us. So if you want to be on our prayer team, we would love to have your photo. And so I asked, let's get a picture together today. If you want to be part of our prayer team, I will be back there. We'll take photos today, and we'll write your name down so we can remember who you are and remember to pray for you as well. You can also be part of this ministry through your gifts. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians, let each one give as he's decided in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God's family. So we're not here to twist your arm to give, but God loves a cheerful giver. Here we were with the Berge family just a couple weeks ago in Larimore. It was kind of fun. This is how it breaks down. We break it down this way. We have to raise about $72,000. And sort of how that works is it only takes 120 people to do that. But at each person as they are able, if they give, 120 people can completely fund this mission, which is really amazing. Maybe God's leading you to go. There are opportunities on the field. Here are some of them. If you've ever felt the tugging of God on your heart to be part of the mission, I encourage you to prayerfully consider it. We need church planters on this island. We need people doing evangelism on this island. And we would welcome, as God leads someone else to join us, we would welcome that very much. So if God's leading you to go, please come talk to me. I'm really fun. I don't bite. So we have a website, theyneedthebible.org. You can see everything more, anything more on that website, theyneedthebible.org. Lastly, I'd like to tell you this little story in closing today. So I don't know if we have the worship team after this. You guys can come on up as I'm telling this story. This is a man named Gaspar. And I'll tell you the story. I met the CEO of Hobby Lobby just about 6 months ago. I met the CEO of Hobby Lobby. And he's really a rich guy. His name is Mark Green. He's a Christian. One day, Mark was invited to go to Ecuador to a church Bible dedication service. He said, okay, I'll go. I've had the Bible for many years. Why not go? They're just finishing a Bible translation in Ecuador. So he goes along, and he goes up this little windy road, and he gets to the church there. And as he's in the service, these missionaries had done 40 years of Bible translation work so that they could have the Bible. And people are getting their first copies of the Bible. But then Mark Green learns only 400 people read. Uh-oh. 40 years of time, 40 years of support dollars, and only 400 people can read? That's a problem. It doesn't make sense from a profit analysis, cost analysis standpoint. He started adding up the numbers and thought, we could have spent the same ministry dollars somewhere else. And as he was sitting there thinking about this, this man walked up to the front. His name is Gaspar, and he had worked on the translation team. He got his first copy of the Bible, and he was moved to tears that God spoke his language. And Mart, this wealthy man, explains, he says, it was as though the Holy Spirit came to me in that very moment I had that thought and said, hey, Mart, why don't you go up to the front to Gaspar? Why don't you tell him he wasn't a very good return on investment? Tell him the profit analysis didn't quite equal out for 400 people. And Mart said he was convicted, and he stopped asking the question, why? He started asking the question, how? So he's now a big supporter of translation work. He's a good friend. But I'm encouraged by his story. You know, it doesn't matter if it's 400 people or 400,000. I know that Gaspar is going to reach his community for Jesus, and that's what we're hoping on this island too. So thank you for your time today. Thank you for your encouragement. We hope to talk to you after the service. I hope to pour you a cup of African tea today, and thank you once again. Let me close in prayer. Lord, thank you so much for just your people here and for the exciting thing it is to be part of your kingdom's work. I ask that you would bless St. Paul's Lutheran here in Fargo, and bless us to be a blessing, Lord, to the nations. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, I believe it's time to sing. Our next song is I Love to Tell the Story. I love how fitting the songs have been today. Thank you so much.
freedoms would continue, that we would be able to worship and speak freely about you and what you have done. Lord, we pray for those in charge, for our leaders, that you would bless them and work in them and through them, that you would bring those who don't know you to salvation, and that your will would be executed through the laws of this land. Lord, we pray that you would perform a miracle within our governments. And Lord, we pray for the Olsons again, that you would provide for them, that you would raise up supporters and prayer warriors, and Lord, even more people to go and serve the people there on that island. And Lord, now we close with the prayer that you have taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Please rise for the benediction. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. From whom all blessings flow, praise him, all creatures.